Well, yes, indeed, folks. What a great,
beautiful Resurrection Sunday the Lord's given us to worship Him. I just love it. It's going to be in the 80s and sunshine. Perfect weather. Open your hymnals, church, for our final hymn this morning to hymn 332. 332. And just prior to singing, let me say this. It's been quite a week. As you know, things have been really happening around the world. And yesterday, they had, at Berkeley, California, they had these protesters, anti-Trump protesters. And sadly, there was almost a riot broke out. There were, I think they said, 22 arrested. One guy was stabbed, pro-Trump guys. And they're violent. The anti-Trump people are violent. They are attacking the pro-Trump supporters, physically attacking them. There was 22 arrests. They stabbed one of them. So these people are, they're off the deep end. They're demon-possessed, and they're just gone crazy. Why? Because of who you voted for. It's really insane. So, folks, this is what we've arrived at in these last days. Romans chapter 3, down around verse 12, it says, violence is in their paths, and the way of peace they have not known. That's what it is. And we're seeing it. The Bible tells you before it happens what's going to happen. So, folks, I encourage you this morning to stay close to the Lord in these last days. And if anybody approaches you, and because of who you voted for, or because of what you stand for, call 911. Call 911. Because these punks need to be arrested. They really do. They're nothing but troublemakers, and it's sad what we've come to. It's really sad. The president's trying to do the right thing, and people don't like that when you try to do the right thing. All right, 332 will stand for our final hymn this Resurrection Sunday morning. Were you there? Oh, how we love to sing this one. Were you there when He rose from the dead? If you saved, you were. And we'll sing the first, the third, and the fourth, church.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? tremble. Were you there when he rose up from the grave?
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, people. Please be seated at this time. Good singing this morning, church. Good testimonies, and just praise the Lord. Oh, by the way, forgot to mention, President dropped a Moab this week on, in Afghanistan, where ISIS terrorists were located, and it took out 94 of them. One strike killed 94 of the terrorists. The righteous rejoice when the wicked perish. And folks, I'm telling you, these guys were beheading Christians, and our president cares. And sadly, we need to pray for our Christian brothers and sisters in Egypt. If you haven't heard, three or four of the churches were bombed this week. And a whole bunch of our brothers and sisters were killed in the attack. It was ISIS. And what they're trying to do is eliminate Christianity from the face of the earth. And I read somewhere this morning, I was reading an article, and it said that, I know what it was. I'm going to share it with you during my sermon. I'll tell you what. It's good. Yeah. I'll share it with you during my message. But, folks, martyrdom never ceased in the last 2,000 years. God's people have always been martyred. It's nothing new under the sun. And so these poor churches over in the Middle East, they're facing severe persecution. And today, of all days, Resurrection Sunday, you know they're going to be targeted. Right now, Father in heaven, we need to pray right now. Bow our heads, let's pray, folks. Lord, we ask you to protect our dear brothers and sisters in the Middle East who are worshiping the Lord Jesus today. Oh God, we pray for your holy angels to hedge them in, surround them and protect them from the evil terrorists who seek their death. And Lord, we just thank you that we and they too know where they're going when they die. They'll go to be with the Lord Jesus forevermore. Thank you for that. But Lord, we ask for your protective hedge to be strengthened round about them. And Lord, we thank you that despite these evildoers, these wicked ones in these last days, so dark that you are in control. That, Lord, whatever happens, you're allowing to happen. And, Lord, we thank you that your train is running on schedule. You're coming back quickly. Lord, you're going to put an end to all of this evil. And, Lord, we just thank you for your sweet Holy Spirit that gives us a tender heart. To perceive the evil that's going on all around us. And Lord, it causes us to hate sin. It causes us to despise the evil that put you on that cross. We thank you, dear Lord, for giving us hearts after God's own heart by the Spirit of Christ within. We thank you for that. What a treasure it is, Lord, to know the truth in these last days. And Lord, this Resurrection Sunday, we do worship thee, O God, for rising from the dead for our justification, as your word plainly declares. It was for our justification. Thank you, Lord. We love you this morning. We ask you to bless us as we preach. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And folks, we need to continue to lift them up in the Lord. It's happening all over the world. And of course, the anti-Semitism is on the rise like never before. And they hate the Jews, they hate the Christians. They want us eliminated. You know, there's a gal there on... As you're turning to Acts chapter 4 this morning, beloved. Acts chapter 4 for my message. There's a gal on Fox News. Her name is... it's right on the tip of my... She's the religious reporter. And she claims to be a Christian. But I figured something out. She's not Lauren. It's right on my tongue. But regardless of that,
she was on there yesterday on Fox News talking about, she was talking about the Muslims killing Christians. And this is what she said. She said, yes, it's true that the Muslims are killing the Christians, but she says you have to understand it's part of their ideology because they want them, they want everyone to be Muslim. And I said, what? Instead of condemn Lauren Green, instead of condemning the murder of innocent Christians, she said, oh, that's just part of their ideology. And she, then she said this. She said, that's just the extreme left wing of the Islam. She said, there's a whole bunch of peace-loving Muslims in the world. Mainstream Islam is just fine. And I felt like jumping through the television and grabbing hold of her. And I mean, folks, she doesn't understand. Islam studies the book called the Quran. That's their unholy book. And their book, the Quran, commands them 37 times to kill the infidels. Not to proselytize them, not to pray for them, and not to seek their salvation, but to kill them. And this is what, folks, this is not my message this morning, but I've got to get this out. This is what most Christians don't understand. Islam is satanic because their unholy book teaches them to kill. Are you listening? It commands them. If you're, now listen to me, I'm going to make a statement. It's going to shock the world. I know I'm going to get letters on this one. But if you're a true Muslim, if you're a true Muslim, if you're a literal Quran, like we're a literal Bible believers, right? If you're a literal Quran believer, you will seek to kill anyone who won't convert to Islam. Why? Because you're commanded to. Here lies the problem. Here is why you've got ISIS. Here's why you've got Al-Qaeda. Here's why you've got, in America, people in mosques all over America that want to kill you. Because that's what they're taught. And if you're a true believer, I'm talking Muslim believer, Nation of Islam, you will seek to kill those who refuse to become Muslim. Okay, I got that out. You won't hear that on the, you won't hear that on CNN. I guarantee you. MSNBC, forget it. Acts chapter 4 this morning, beloved. Acts chapter 4. And so this gal, I mean, she means well, but she just doesn't understand. You've got to, you got to study these things, folks, and you've got to see what they actually believe and why they do the dastardly evil deeds that they do. All right, now, it's so good to know the truth, folks. Oh boy, beloved. In case you haven't noticed lately, there seems to now be a huge controversy over who it was that killed or put to death the Lord Jesus 2,000 years ago. My message this morning is a question. We're celebrating his resurrection all over the world today. But folks, in order for there to have been a resurrection, what had to have occurred first? Somebody killed, executed the Lord Jesus Christ, right? They killed him. My message this morning is, who killed the Lord Jesus? Who killed him? And I believe the Bible will give us the answer this morning. And I'd ask you to bear with me through my entire message before you make a conclusion on what I'm suggesting. Because you got to get the whole picture of who killed the Lord Jesus. The Passion movie, for instance. It portrays, you know, the Romans almost as good guys. I mean, it's crazy. But look with me here in Acts chapter 4. We'll read our passage. Pray and preach. Acts chapter 4. Look with me at verse 23. In verse 23. Now, remember that this is Peter and John, you know, they were imprisoned and everything here, and the paralytic guy was made to leap and walk in the name of Jesus Christ, and they commanded him not to speak in this man's name. And verse 23. And being let go,
They went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers which gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Quoting from Psalm 2, prophetic. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Beloved, I want to use verse 27 as my text and preach a sermon I've entitled, Who Killed the Lord Jesus? Father in heaven, how we thank you, Lord, that when we have a question, we're so grateful that there is an answer from on high. It's found in the Word of God, the King James Bible. We're so grateful that, Lord, you have all the answers. And Lord, when a discrepancy arises, a dispute of whatever sort, we simply need to go to the Bible and find out what saith the Lord. What saith the Scripture, capital S. We thank you so much, Lord, that this question this morning can be clearly answered from the Scripture, who killed the Lord Jesus indeed. And Lord, we'd ask you to bless your word, taking a different approach this Resurrection Sunday for the past 30 years since 1987, my first sermon. I've preached every year on the resurrection. But Lord, this year you've led me in a different direction, and we want to see who killed the Lord Jesus in order for there to be a resurrection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Folks, just this week, I tuned into MSNBC News Channel, and sure enough, the debate was raging on. Dan Abrams, a reporter on MSNBC, had a Jewish rabbi, a Catholic priest, and a Baptist preacher, all arguing over who it was that crucified Jesus Christ in AD 30. The rabbi was pointing his finger at the priest and saying, it was you, Romans, that put him to death. The priest was saying, no, it was the Jews that found him guilty and cried, crucify him, crucify him. The Baptist preacher said, well, it was both the Jews and the Romans conjointly that caused his death. But folks, for some strange reason, not one single person on that panel, in all of the bickering and disputing, opened up the Bible to see what God said about it. So brothers and sisters, this morning, we're going to do that. And we're going to answer the question of who killed the Lord Jesus from the Scripture itself. Glory to God. I want to give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 suggestions on who killed the Lord Jesus. First, who killed the Lord Jesus? It was Herod. It was Herod that killed him. Look at verse 27. We'll use verse 27 for our text this morning. It says, for of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, Jesus Christ, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and people of Israel were gathered together. Notice the first scoundrel listed is Herod, the Tetrarch. Now, folks, who was Herod? Herod, now we have four generations of Herods in the New Testament. So whenever you're looking at a passage that mentions Herod, always stop and study to find out which Herod the Scripture is speaking of in that passage. This Herod is clearly Herod Antipas, the third Herod of the Gospels. He was the ruling Tetrarch of Judea at the time of the crucifixion. It was this Herod who took Herodias, his brother's wife, to be his own. It was this Herod who beheaded and killed John the Baptist. It was his father, Herod the Great, who first tried to kill
Jesus Christ when he ordered all the males under 2 years old in Bethlehem to be slain. That was his father. Go to Luke chapter 23, holding your place in Acts. In Luke chapter 23, who killed the Lord Jesus? I'll show you who. It was Herod. In Luke chapter 23, look with me at verse 6. Verse 6. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, Tetrarch, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he, Jesus, answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together. For before, they were at enmity between themselves. Oh yes, we have a common enemy, Jesus Christ. Now we're bosom buddies. Wow. You see how evil attracts evil, folks? And it says here in verse 11 that Herod, with his men of war, mocked the Lord Jesus. They put a purple robe on him. They spat upon him. They whipped him. They tortured him. Why? Because Herod killed Jesus. Recently, I saw a Bill Curtis special with my wife on the murder of Johnny Catapano. Johnny Catapano lived in Great Falls, Minnesota. It appears that Johnny had always been the town bully. In fact, because of his 6 foot 6 inch frame, 280 pounds of muscle, he was quite feared by most people in the town. Until five of his longtime friends devised a plan to get him drunk and kill him. They did it. And though only two of the young men actually bludgeoned him to death, yet all five were found guilty of first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison without parole. Why? Why'd they do it? Because they conspired together to kill him. That's what Herod did. He gets together in verse 12 with Pontius Pilate and says, yeah, let's rid the earth of this preacher. Let's get rid of him. Let's kill him. Yep. Who killed the Lord Jesus? It was Herod. I see someone else who killed the Lord Jesus, though. It was Pilate, Pontius Pilate. Look back in our text in Acts chapter 4. Who killed the Lord Jesus? Pontius Pilate. Look at verse 27. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate were gathered together against him. Now, who was Pontius Pilate? Pilate was the Roman appointed governor of Judea. He represents the Romans. He controlled the Roman armies of occupation in Judea in the time of Christ. He ran the show, okay? In Matthew chapter 27, turn there for a moment. I want you to meet this character, Pontius Pilate, who went against his own conscience. Don't do that, by the way. It's dangerous. Going against your conscience. God put it in you for a reason. Matthew 27, verse 1, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to what? Death. They're going to kill him. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to who? Pontius Pilate, the governor. Drop down to verse 11. Watch what Pilate does. And Jesus stood before the governor, Pontius Pilate. And the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. I love that. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest not thou how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him, to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now, drop down to verse 21. The governor answered and said unto them, Pilate, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Who did that? Pilate. He killed him. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus and to the common hall, gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him. They stripped him naked, folks. That's why the woman stood afar off from the cross. He was naked, bearing our sins. They put on him a scarlet robe, and when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. The depravity of man boggles my mind. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. They killed him by Pilate's order. Folks, listen to me. Cicero, the great Roman author and orator, said, and I quote, let the very name of the cross be far away from Roman citizens, not from their bodies only, but from their thoughts, their eyes, and their ears. Cicero said, don't even think about the cross. It's evil. Oh yeah, we know where he is today. Mark chapter 15. Flip back to Mark chapter 15. We're talking about who killed the Lord Jesus this morning. That's why there was a resurrection, because they executed him. An innocent man. In Mark chapter 15, look with me at verse 15. Mark 15, verse 15, we read, and so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Notice in verse 15, Pilate was a man pleaser. He didn't care about God. He didn't fear God. He said, oh, you want Jesus? You want to kill him? Take him and crucify him. See that? Folks, don't bow to the whims of man, because man is depraved. Man is sinful by nature. And they always seek their own self, selfish gain. The ancient historian Tacitus recorded in book 15 of his writings, chapter 44, in AD 54, I quote, that the founder of the Christian religion, Jesus Christ, was put to death by Pontius Pilate in the reign of Tiberius, the Roman emperor. It's recorded in history books. Pontius Pilate put him to death. Who killed the Lord Jesus? It was Herod, the Tetrarch. Who killed the Lord Jesus? It was Pilate, the Roman governor. But I see another guilty party. Another guilty party in Acts chapter 4. Look at this. Who killed the Lord Jesus? It was the Gentiles. Look with me in verse 27. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, were gathered together against him. Gentiles. Gentiles killed him. Who are the Gentiles? Gentiles, according to Noah Webster, is non-Jewish, pagan, heathen, Gentile peoples. It's everybody except the Jews, the Gentiles. The Jews are excluded from this, see that? But just wait. Gentiles killed him. In Luke chapter 18, we see this clearly. Luke chapter 18, who killed the Lord Jesus? It was the Gentiles. In Luke 18, look at me at verse 31. Then he, Jesus, took unto him the 12, and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he, me, Jesus is saying, shall be delivered unto who? Gentiles. The Gentiles, those occupiers from Rome, they were Gentiles. They weren't Jewish. And they shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted upon. And they shall scourge him and put him to what? Death. And the third day he shall rise again. I love that. Footnote. He shall rise again. Jesus knew that the Gentiles would put him to death, and he willingly laid down his life. Now, I see two ways that the Gentiles killed the Lord Jesus. First, there were Gentile converts to Judaism in the crowds that cried, "Crucify him, crucify him." Look at me at John chapter 12. We're tracing this down this morning. We're seeing from the Bible who killed the Lord Jesus. Look with me in John chapter 12 at verse 20. Look at this. Verse 20 we read. And there were certain Greeks amongst them, the Jews, at Passover feast, that came up to worship at the feast. Now, folks, you've got to read between the lines here. Who were these Greeks? They were Gentile converts to Judaism. But they were still Gentiles, okay? Physically, they were Greek, that's a Gentile, a Greek. But they converted to Judaism, so they came, as commanded from the Old Testament, to Jerusalem to worship at the Feast of Passover. Now, these Gentiles cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" That's the first Gentiles to crucify him. Then secondly, they were Gentiles that carried out his actual execution with their own hands. Look with me at John chapter 19. John chapter 19, the Bible's so clear on who killed him. In John chapter 19, look with me at verse 23. Then the soldiers, Roman soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, they crucified Jesus. Gentile soldiers crucified Jesus. They took his garments, made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said, therefore, amongst themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment amongst them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. This is a prophecy from Psalm 22, which is being fulfilled in verse 24. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. What soldiers? The Roman Gentile soldiers. Foreign Gentiles who executed him, verse 24 says. Now, down through the ages, folks, centuries of world history, ever since Cain murdered Abel, man, that's Genesis chapter 4, man has been guilty of the crime of homicide. We hear about it every week in the news. Someone killing someone. That's called homicide. Man killing man. But when man put to death the Son of God, he became guilty of the crime of deicide. Deicide. The only time in history that man killed God. Why? Because God allowed him to. All the other religions of the world, they say, "You stupid Christians, how could man kill God?" I'll tell you how. By God allowing them to. Oh, folks, they committed the crime of deicide, the murder of God himself. Who killed the Lord Jesus? It was the Gentiles. But I see another suspect. Another suspect. Who killed the Lord Jesus? It was the Jews. The Jews. Back to chapter 4 of Acts 4, verse 27. It's clear. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel, were gathered together. Wait a minute. You mean Jesus Christ, who was full-blooded ethnic Jew, was killed by the Jews? That's right. Listen to me. Considering the biblical record, combined with historical writings, there can be no doubt that the Jewish people played a major role in the death of God's Son on purpose. And how a Jewish rabbi can go on CNN and claim that the Jews never called for his crucifixion is beyond my understanding. But one did this week. Hello, John chapter 19. The Jewish rabbi needs to read this passage that I'm about to read you. In John chapter 19, you know it's the crucifixion chapter. Look at verse 14. And it was the preparation of the Passover. See how the Bible all fits together like a glove? And about the sixth hour, he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. Now notice here that Pilate is speaking directly to Jewish people. He says, behold your king, Jews. But they, the Jews, cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests, the leaders of Israel, Jewish ones, said, we have no king but Caesar. Folks, with that statement, they sealed their fate. Their doom was certain. Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them. Them who? The Jews, to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. Folks, you've got to understand something here. In John chapter 19, the Jews are leading him to the Roman soldiers, handing him to be crucified. Who killed the Lord Jesus? Go to Acts chapter 3. It was the Jews. The Jews killed him. In Acts chapter 3, look with me at verse 11. And as the lame man, you know, the lame man that leaped and walked and praised God and went into the temple to worship him. As the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them. Now, what people? Whenever you see the term the people in the book of Acts, it's always, always speaking about Jews. Okay? Keep that in mind, and you'll see it to be true. Every mention of the people are the Jewish people. The people ran together unto them in the porch that was called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, watch what he calls them, ye men of Israel, Jews, why marvel ye at this? Why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom, what's the next word? Ye who? The men of Israel delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Verse 14, but ye, Israel, denied the Holy One, that's Messiah, and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And what? Ye killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Listen, Peter pointed his Baptist finger right at the Jews and said, ye killed him. Ye killed him. When Pilate would have let him go. Who killed the Lord Jesus? The Jews did. Harold Saylor writes, I quote, Jews historically are defined both by heredity and by religion. Now listen, this is what I was reading earlier that I wanted to tell you before. A person, he writes, a person who is born of a Jewish mother is considered to be a Jew, ethnically. But regardless of nationality today, if a person converts to Judaism, he or she becomes a Jew. This is what they believe. Likewise, if a person born of Jewish parents ceases to practice Judaism and becomes an atheist, he or she is still considered to be a Jew. But according to rabbis today, if a Jew becomes a Christian, he or she ceases to be Jewish, regardless of his Jewish blood, which flows through his veins. You know what he's saying? He's saying you can be an atheist and be Jewish, but you can't be a Christian and be Jewish. Wow. You know what I see right there? I see somebody who hates the Lord Jesus. Listen, folks, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at this verse. In case you doubt what I am saying about who killed him, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, watch this verse. Pauline doctrine by the Holy Ghost says, verse 14, for ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. They're saved. For ye also have suffered like things of your own. These are Jewish Christians, Jews who accepted Jesus Christ, that was born again. Ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway. For the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Who is Paul speaking to in 14, 15, and 16? Jews! Jews who prevented the preaching of Jesus Christ. Folks, why? It says in verse 15, they killed the Lord Jesus. Oh, folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that who it was that killed the Lord Jesus, it was Herod. Who killed the Lord Jesus? It was Pontius Pilate. Who killed the Lord Jesus? It was the Gentiles. Who killed him? It was the Jews. But there's one more person with blood on his hands. I want you to notice verse 27 in the book of Acts, chapter 4. Verse 27, finally, who killed the Lord Jesus? It was you and me. What, Pastor? I said it was you and me. Verse 27, for of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Beloved, I'd ask you to listen to me closely in closing this morning. Because it's so easy to point the finger and say, oh, Pontius Pilate, that wicked rebel. And oh, Herod is so mean. And those Jews and those Gentile soldiers, yeah, they're so evil. How about you? How about me? I'm here to tell you this morning that you and me put him on that cross. We killed him by our sin. Oh, folks, there's a serious message this morning. The real person that killed the blessed Lord Jesus was me. And every one of you can also look in the mirror and proclaim, it was you, you dirty scoundrel, that put him on that cross. That's because it was our sins that fastened him to the tree. It wasn't the nails that held him on the tree. It was our sins that he willingly took upon himself. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Folks, I want you to know this morning that it was you and me that killed the Lord Jesus. And once a human being comes to this understanding, they are finally in a position to be saved from the guilt of deicide. Folks, look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for what? Our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Beloved, I want you to notice carefully the wording in verse number 3. Christ died for our sins. The only thing that caused the Son of God to die, it wasn't the Romans, it wasn't Pontius Pilate or Herod or the soldiers. Folks, he's God. He died because of our sins. Beloved, stop and think and consider this truth. That who killed the Lord Jesus was every one of us who breathes his air. Why is he silent when a word would slay his accusers all? Why does he meekly bear their taunts when angels await his call? He was made sin, my sin he bore upon the accursed tree. And sin hath no defense to make. His silence was for me. His silence was for me. I saw one hanging on a tree in agonies and blood, who fixed his languid eyes on me as near his cross I stood. Sure, never to my latest breath can I forget that look. He seemed to charge me with his death, though not a word he spoke. My conscience felt alone my guilt and plunged me in despair. I saw my sins his blood had spilt and helped to nail him there. A second look he gave which said, I freely all forgive. My blood is for thy ransom paid. I die that thou mayest live. I'm so thankful that though my sins put him on that cross, he said, Bob, I die that thou mayest live. Oh, beloved, let me ask you a question this morning in closing. Have you ever come to the point in your life where you realized that you, yourself, and you were the one that caused the death of Jesus Christ? Because, beloved, here is biblical Christianity in a nutshell. When one comes to the realization that there was only one thing that caused the death of God's Son, and it was my sin. You don't point your finger at anybody but yourself. Because you and I were guilty before God, separated from Him, and He sent His Son to die for our sins. Oh, I'm so thankful this morning that I've come to the realization that it was me that killed the Lord Jesus. And that by His voluntary, sacrificial, atoning death, I am set free. I am set free from that deicide. I am set free from every sin I ever committed by His precious blood. Dear Lord, thank You this morning. Who killed the Lord Jesus? It was every one of us. Oh Lord, Your word. Not one person on that panel on MSNBC would open the Bible and show the world from the Bible who killed the Lord Jesus. They're all pointing their fingers at each other when they should have been pointing their fingers at themselves. Lord, I'm so grateful this morning that You were willing. You said, no man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. Lord, I'm so thankful that You gave Your life for the sheep. Lord, I'm so thankful that You did it for one single reason. L-O-V-E. You loved us so much, even when we were dead in sins and trespasses, that You died for the ungodly. You died for the ungodly. Lord, I am so grateful this morning for the truth of this message. And my prayer, oh God, is that multitudes around the world would hear this message and come to the realization that they put the Lord Jesus on that cross. And that Jesus died to pay the penalty for their sin. And that they would personally reach out and receive the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior from their sin. Oh Lord, we thank You for it today. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. We will have a time of invitation. And we'll stand this morning. I'd like to stand and I'd like to open up our hymnals to hymn 67. Because considering today's message, this hymn says it all. Who killed the Lord Jesus? Jesus paid it all. Amen. We will sing the first, second, and fourth of hymn 67. Oh, thank God that He sent His Son to pay it all for you and me. Altar is open if you need it.
I hear the Savior sing, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to Him. my own. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Thank you, Lord. Second.
Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's thoughts and melt that heart of stone.
Yeah!
Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
On the fourth, beloved, listen to the words.
And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow.
Oh, glory to God. Great singing this morning, church. Thank you for being in God's house on Resurrection Sunday. And yes, indeed, who killed the Lord Jesus? Every one of us. But that wasn't the end of the story. Because on that third and glorious day, he got up, rising from the dead for our justification. Oh, Father, how we thank you. This morning, we give you praise and honor and glory for having died for our sins personally. Lord, we thank thee, O God, that you rose from the dead. Lord, we thank you that your atoning blood was accepted by the Father. And Lord, we thank you that even now, today, your blood is fresh and pleading our forgiveness before the throne. Thank you for that, Lord. We celebrate your resurrection today. And we thank you, Lord, that despite our guilt individually, yet we are freed from all of it because of your blood. We thank you for it this morning, O God. We pray that you would work miracles through this message. Lord, we pray that many would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we look forward to hearing and all that what you'll do. And Lord, we thank you for these last days in which you're keeping the doors of our church open. You're keeping us going by grace. Lord, you're keeping the gospel message proclaimed to the ends of the earth. How we praise you for this privilege, O God, to be called thy servants in the earth in these last days. What a privilege it is. We love you this morning, dear Lord. And we thank you for all you have done and all that you're yet to do for us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks.